ignition sequence start. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Check, 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 check. I literally just create madness.
Boiler up.
I'm going to go off here.
They don't have a great quarterback.
I got to take a break. I'm getting in trouble.
To win the Big Ten, you first got to win the West.
Bad Bunny.
Have you heard his name in a while?
No.
Has it bothered you?
No.
Defensively, they got to come in with some confidence.
Is that even analytics?
I am in a parking garage. It's kind of lost.
Terrence Shannon, Matthew Meyer, RJ Melendez, Coleman Hawkins.
He's dropping the presentations on and over.
I didn't come here to go 5-7.
I'm so proud of Illinois football right now.
I'm so tired of Joel Embiid.
We're not taking Patrick Corbin.
I want to bet the Bears.
Oh.
You are Reba McEntire's niece.
Roshan Russell.
Coach Bielma.
Dino Long. Yeah, salute to yourself.
What?
We got all kinds of things for you here.
There's a lot of glass.
Oh.
Guys, we have breaking news.
Uh-oh.
It's the drive.
Schmack dogs.
It is the drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Derek Piper, Kyle Toss. Great stuff from Jay Lehman. He brings it every week. And we're very fortunate to have that type of analysis and entertainment on our radio station each and every week. We're also at the benefit of having the Illini starting quarterback every week as well. Luke Altmaier, the segment is brought to you by Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contractor Supply, the right tools when you need it. And Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com. And also by Carpenters Local 243. Joining us now on the Tapman's Towing phone line, Luke Altmaier. How you doing, man? Thanks for joining us as always.
Doing well. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. It's got to feel better on a Monday. Last week, obviously coming off a tough one against Penn State. You put up 300-plus. You take care of the football. How'd you feel about what you showed and what led into you having a really nice bounce-back performance?
Yeah, certainly a better feeling, this Monday than last for sure. But, like you said, last week was – A difficult one to bury and, put behind. But, I used that game as a learning experience in, in so many ways. And, it was very painful, but, I had a lot of great people around me to help encourage and propel me forward in a lot of different areas. And, it was good to get back on the field and get back in the win column. Obviously, there's so much more that we can do to be better, and I'm so excited about that aspect of it. And I think our best is ahead of us.
Luke, I did kind of want to dive in a little bit on that, on your process last week. Just you mentioned there, you got some good people around you as far as support, and it's not like it wasn't the season last week; it was just one game. But how did you approach that? How long did you allow yourself to use that as motivation or to look back at it? Did you move on fairly quickly at some point? Like, what did you do throughout the week that got your mind right and allowed you to play as good a football as you did on Saturday?
Yeah. Kind of approached it in a lot of different ways. It was I think more painful than anything, because it was a game that, I'd looked forward to ever since, I decided to come here. And I think this team, had the same feeling as well. We had that one circled on our calendar, certainly. And to kind of have that outcome is obviously something that, I didn't want and the team didn't want. I took a lot of ownership of it, obviously. And it was a very painful experience. It was. And I found out a lot about myself, kind of the following days after and, throughout last week. And I couldn't have done it and couldn't have worked through that without so many great people around me. One of the reasons I chose to come here was because of the beliefs that, Coach B and, the type of people that, I go to work with every single day and, uplift me and, when I'm down and, encourage me in so many different ways, and had a lot of great people around me to helped me gain perspective in a lot of different areas. But at the end of the day, I had to make a decision to get up off the mat and move forward and put one foot in front of the other. And because the next Saturday was coming regardless. And like I said, I was so excited just to get back on the field. And I thought I approached the week well, and a little bit differently, and mentally and emotionally, spiritually, and I got a lot better physically because of it.
Luke, you guys got off to a little bit of a slow start. That trick play, you end up hitting Griffin Moore on that wheel route on the sideline, really got you guys going for your first touchdown of the game. Just how did you see that play out? I know there was also a post. Was that your first read, and you worked it to Griffin Moore as well? And just kind of take me through what goes into maybe installing something like that, and then how it plays out on a Saturday to be able to hit that throw.
Yeah, obviously got off to a slow start, having to score this first quarter, not something that we envisioned nor that we want, I know we will get better from it. I do. I think at the end of the day, we're beating ourselves with, different things, whether it's penalties or turnovers or, just mental errors that we know as we keep playing together that it'll only get better. It's a really confident and talented group, but, on that play, yeah, it was definitely unique and, kind of a special play that we've had. And Coach Lenny has kind of created and had for a long time, and we've practiced it, since fall camp. And, we're just kind of just waiting for the right moment to use it. But, breaking it down, yeah, kind of like a flea flicker type play. And you have that post route and kind of the wheel route too, to kind of try to get behind the defense, and the run action with the flea flicker kind of sells itself. Everybody sees it and kind of thinks run, and kind of crashes down hard to try to stop that aspect of it. But I kind of just had to buy a little time there to kind of find one of the two, because like you said, both of them were open, and you kind of go to the post route first and then to the wheel route there with Griffin. And it happened to be where I was in a position where I couldn't really get to the post. I had to evade a defender, and luckily Griffin, found his way behind the defense there, and I was able to find him for a big one.
Luke, it seemed like you guys did take a step forward offensively on Saturday, over 500 yards, but you mentioned there still some self-inflicted wounds. Seemed like you left some points on the board there. Obviously, only 23, could have been 30 if Caden Fagan got into the end zone there at the end. But how close do you think you guys are as an offense now through a third of the season heading into Big Ten play? Do you feel like you're close to a breakthrough and that next step is just ahead of you guys?
Yeah, I really do. I really do. Like you said, this is kind of a game where, at the end of the day, we kind of stopped ourselves in a lot of ways. And I think throughout the first four games, we've had moments where, we were right there on the cusp of, really being, putting up a lot more points. I think, having drives where we get down there in the red zone or close to it, and, whether it's getting stopped on a fourth down or whatever it may be, we're in position to make plays, and we just have to sustain those drives. That starts with me and my part, and as I learn and go through my first kind of real season, I'll get so much better at. But we believe we're right there. We really do. And like I said, we were in position to have more points than we did last Saturday, and had a penalty take off a touchdown off the board, and kind of there at the end, we had an opportunity to put seven more up. It should have been a 35-point plus game. And but there's areas that we have to clean up that first drive, but first quarter, certainly not having any points. We want to have an emphasis on starting fast as we move forward.
Luke Altmyer is our guest on the Tapman's Towing phone line. Luke, you look at Isaiah Williams' stats through four games. Jay mentioned it in the first hour for us, that leads the Big Ten in receptions, and eight catches for 120 yards for him on Saturday against FAU. Came down with a huge one, contested catch. We know that quarterback and wide receiver, that relationship, especially for a number one, is really important. How have you guys gone about building that to where it's been so good for you guys through the first stretch of the season? You obviously being a newcomer here, How have you seen that play out to where you've got good chemistry and obviously the production is coming through there?
Yeah, I mean, I think certainly we've worked really hard through this throughout this off season and throughout my first time being first year of me being here. Started in the winter and spring, and then on to summer and fall camp, and you know, to get ready for these 12 opportunities. And you know, he's been, you know, such a great leader for this team and for me, and helping me get comfortable with this offense, and you know, learning about his skill set and, you know, what I need to do to get him the ball in space. And, you know, I think that's just the thing is, you know, finding ways to let him touch the ball. And, you know, he's so dynamic in space and such a great route runner and, you know, obviously has a ton of speed and, you know, can make those contested catches where, you know, at the end of the day, I just have to distribute the ball to him, whether that's, you know, down the field or, you know, a little smoke route or whatever it may be. You know, he's a special player. I think we all know that. And, you know, like I said, he's a great leader and, you know, it's awesome when, one of your best players, if not the best player on our squad is, you know, the hardest worker. So, yeah, you know, I'm looking forward to, really, really, you know, growing that relationship more on the field and seeing a lot more production there.
Luke, we saw the run game get going, especially there in the second half. You were able to win FAU cuts it to 6. You guys' last drive, able to run it out. And like Kyle said, you know, Caden Fagan could have went in the end zone and made the heady move to fall down there. But what did you see as the quarterback and that your run game was able to get going? What led to that success in the second half? And is that something maybe you can ride into next week in terms of momentum?
Yeah, I think, I mean, Coach B has told, you know, said to us all week that we really want to, you know, establish our identity and, you know, being a really physical football team, you know, moving forward in all aspects of our offense. But, you know, I think it's a really, really important that, you know, we get that run game going. You know, it helps us, helps me in the pass game and helps everybody within our offense. And, you know, we had, you know, four backs really, really impact the game this week in a lot of different ways, and I think that was part of it. But, you know, I think a lot of it is just, you know, we just kept chipping away. You know, obviously we want to start faster and creating a lot more explosive plays in the run game. You know, but, you know, I'm glad we found some success there in the second half, and, you know, it's good to kind of see what we did there and, you know, be able to learn from it and, you know, kind of use that, you know, moving forward to create those explosive plays for us and, you know, understand what we need to do to be able to ride that wave.
Brett Bielema mentioned post game about how he called you last Saturday after the Penn State game, just to kind of reassure you that you're the starting quarterback and give you some confidence there. What does that mean for you to get a call like that from him, and how has your relationship with him and really all the coaches been able to develop here over these early weeks?
Yeah, it was a big deal. You know, like I said, you know, one reason why I chose to come here was, or wanted, you know, one thing I was looking for in a school and a destination that I wanted to go to was a place where, you know, they had great people that, you know, were, that would help me in different areas of my life, you know, other than football. And, you know, like I said, throughout this week, you know, that really came into fruition the way a lot of people encouraged me and uplifted me. But, you know, that kind of started with Coach B after that game. Obviously a very painful 24 hours after that game and even more than that. But, you know, with that phone call with Coach B and, the way he encouraged me and uplifted me and told me that, you know, he had my back and assured me of a lot of things. It meant a lot, you know. But at the end of the day, you know, I kind of had to get up off the mat myself and, you know, make that decision. But for him to, you know, kind of, you know, assist me, uplift me, encourage me and believe in me well, it really wasn't surprising because the way he approaches our team and life and his work every single day, we see it in him. But For him to call me after a very, very tough one, not only for our team and our players, but, you know, I'm sure it was for him too. And it meant a lot, obviously, you know.
A few more minutes to Luke Altmyer on the Tappan Stone phone line. Purdue is this week. It's one that fans have had circled for quite a while. Ryan Walters was the DC last year in Champaign, and a game that's got a cannon on the line. As someone that's a newcomer to the program, I know you've been here long enough now to probably feel like this is obviously home for you, but do you know much about the rivalry dynamic, and what do you think about this game coming up against the Boilers?
Yeah, obviously I'm not as in tune to it as a lot of people here in this program, just because, you know, I'm not very familiar with it. But, you know, I've heard a whole lot about it, about their experiences in the past, and, you know, kind of the tradition of the game. And, you know, even on top of that, the familiarity with their coach and staff there at Purdue, and how it ties into, this Illinois team's past. And, you know, obviously I wasn't around, but you can tell there's, you know, a different level of attention on this game. Like you said, like I said earlier, we know we had Penn State kind of circled, but before the season, but I think this one will circle too for our team as well, and Purdue, and for a lot of reasons. Like I said, you know, the familiarity, and, you know, a trophy game for us, and our first Big Ten, West game too, is, you know, we want to get in that W column in the Big Ten West, you know, starting off. And you know, it'll be a fun environment to go to, and you know, I know it'll be a lot of fun for our players and, you know, this coaching staff. And, you know, all I want to do is you know, lead my team to that victory however I can, and play hard, and you know play fast as an offense, and put up a lot of points, and so it'll be fun. I'm looking forward to it, and I know this team is as well.
Last one for you, Luke. You've mentioned that, like you said, going into the Big Ten West for the first time, still a lot of football to be played. You guys are 2-2. Probably don't feel like you've played your best football yet. How do you feel like the confidence is in the locker room, and what you guys still feel like is on the table for this team as you guys push forward?
Yeah, you know, I think we've been battle-tested early in the season. You know, we faced a lot of great teams so far, and credit those teams for doing what they can to try to limit us from what we can do. But, you know, like I said, you know, I think it's us that's holding us back in a lot of ways. There's plays out there to be made, and, you know, from, you know, my position and how I can be better, but, you know, as an offense as well, as, you know, kind of all 11 of us getting on the same page to really, you know, propel us moving forward. We know that's there because we see it on film. We see the plays that's there to be made, and, you know, it just, at the end of the day, it's all about, you know, 11 guys out there doing their job. You know, Coach Lonnie's, you know, schemes it up for us really, really nice every single week, puts us in great positions to be successful. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, those 11 on the field and what they can do with, you know, with a play call or whatever. But, and that starts with me. And, you know, as I learn and go forward, you know, my confidence grows and grows. And, you know, the game slows down for me, and I know I'll, you know, I think, and I know my best is ahead of me. And, you know, I think the confidence and the belief and that the offense has and what we can do is, you know, really firmly intact. And we're looking forward to really displaying that.
Luke, appreciate the time and insight. Congrats on a strong bounce back against FAU, and best of luck going into this Saturday against Purdue.
Thank you, Arlie. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Luke Altmyer. This segment brought to you by, again, Dogtown Heating, Air, and Plumbing, your home's best friend. First Federal Savings Bank, local and trusted. Crossroads Contract Supply, the right tools when you need it. Brian Hansen at State Farm Insurance. Visit brianismyguy.com, and by Carpenters Local 243. Good stuff from Luke Altmyer.
That was good stuff. There's some really good stuff in there, and it was just awesome to see, obviously, going against Florida Atlantic, and, you know, you want to see what he can do in Big Ten play against some of these bigger opponents, but just to see the response from him to go for 300 yards, to be really efficient, to air it out down the field a few times. I know there was a couple throws that he missed, but I think the biggest thing to me is that he just came out there and looked like the same confident, poised guy. Nothing affected him. It didn't stop him from being aggressive at that Penn State performance. And so I was impressed with what I saw from him on Saturday.
Yeah, making that kind of throw. Now, he missed Isaiah a couple times
for sure
for some big shots, but Isaiah making that contested throw, that's the type of, number one, having the trust in your number one receiver and a quarterback that still trusts his arm and his ability to make plays, even though he had four picks. We wondered how would he be gun shy? How would he approach that for someone who doesn't have a lot of collegiate games under his belt? I thought all in all, the stat line spoke for a really nice bounce back game.
Yeah, and I thought he protected the football really well too. Obviously, he had that fumble there, which I think probably can share blame between the protection and maybe him trying to getting the ball out a little quicker. But he threw the ball 36 times and there wasn't one that was thrown into traffic or that was in danger of being intercepted. I thought you wanted to see him really clean things up after seven interceptions in three games. And I thought, yeah, he missed a couple, but he also played a really clean game. And I think that's super encouraging heading into a game on Saturday that could be high scoring against the Boilermakers.
Going to catch another break on the other side. We'll talk a little bit about Kyle and I's thoughts on the Illinois FAU game, as well as looking forward to Purdue. And on that note, Brett Bielema met with the media today. Want to get you that before we get out of here. Stick with us. This is The Drive.
The Champaign Park District has some terrific fall events to jot down on your day planner. Flannel Fest will be in downtown Champaign in Westside Park from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m. October 14th and 15th with music, a mustache contest, and lumberjack show. The Great Pumpkin Hunt has you looking for small painted rocks in area parks throughout the month of October. On Wednesday, October 25th at Marketplace Mall between 5 and 7 p.m., enjoy the free Halloween Fun Fest. Learn more at champaignparks.com.
Fighting Illini football is back in Champaign as they take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers in Memorial Stadium Friday night, October 6th at 7 p.m. It's our Celebrate Food and Ag game. Bring the family for a special petting zoo area inside Grange Grove with animals to interact with Illini fans and kids. See you at Memorial Stadium for Fighting Illini football's Big Ten matchup against Nebraska Friday night under the lights on October 6th. Get tickets at fightingillini.com.
I've got to clean out this garage. Let's see. What's the cheapest and easiest dumpster service in our area?
Here's what I found. The doggy bag.
Think she's broken. I'm not looking for takeout. Siri, try again.
The doggy bag from Bulldog Disposal in Mahomet.
Doggy bag? What's that?
If you got junk that needs to go, but you don't want the hassle of having an enormous dumpster delivered, grab a doggy bag, keep it as long as you need. They'll come take it away. For more information, just visit bulldoggybag.com.
That's bulldoggybag.com.
Local, personal, trusted. Hi, this is Ata Durakan with First Federal Savings Bank of Champaign-Urbana, and we've been serving Champaign County since 1908. Our institution is safe, strong, and stable. We operate on a foundation of responsible and sound practices, and you can rest easy knowing we're your bank. Rated 5-star superior by Bauer Financial, Inc., fast, friendly, and local. With local loan decisions and underwriting, if you're not already banking with us, give us a try, and we think you'll love it here. First Federal Savings Bank, 356bank.com, member FDIC, equal housing lender, NMLS. 435120.
Switching is easy. We do it all the time. We switch on the lights. We switch TV channels. Some of us switch partners while square dancing. Well, that's a stretch. But what's not a stretch is how you can switch and save with State Farm. In fact, the Brian Hansen State Farm Agency right here in Champaign-Urbana can switch you over and you can start saving today. Our team is ready to welcome you to the State Farm neighborhood. With the Brian Hansen State Farm Agency, it's easy to switch and save. Just give our team a call at 217-344-1900 when you want the real deal. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Hi, it's Stevie J. Sit back and relax and take the drive with Lonte and Derek Piper. Weekdays 4 to 6 right here on ESPN Radio 93.5.
Here on The Drive with Sam Piper, ESPN Radio 93.5. Before we get to Brett Bielema, Kyle, let's share a little bit of our thoughts coming off of Saturday. Now, I think the bottom line to a lot of what you're going to come away with from Illinois, if you take a big picture type of look around the, especially the Big Ten West, is that there's still a lot of teams in this division, pretty much all of them, that you feel like you can beat. Now, Wisconsin was pretty impressive against Purdue, especially offensively. But let's still, from my vantage point, I still come back to kind of the expectation of what I thought Illinois would be. Now, at the outset, going into the season, I said 6 or 7 wins. And I think that is still probably where I would land, although I'd lean more towards 6. It's just disappointing. I feel like every game, if you look at it individually, has been, in comparison to expectations, disappointing or just a flat-out underachievement. I know I'm a betting guy. I look at spreads. Look at point spreads. Like, you go against Toledo, I think you were a 6 or 7 point favorite. You obviously could have lost the game. You won it closely.
I think you were like a 9.5 point favorite.
Maybe it's actually more than that. That would actually sound more right for a Big Ten versus a MAC team. The Kansas game, it was like a 3 point spread. You were down like 30 after the third quarter. Penn State, I believe that was 14.5. You lost by what? 30 to 13, 17.
But was it really that close?
No, it wasn't that close. And then this past week, you're a 15-point home favorite against a team missing their starting quarterback, missing their running back, missing teeth, and you're down 10-0 off the bat, and it's like, here we go again. This has been really uninspiring football for Illinois. It's disappointing. Not saying the season's over, not saying that Illinois can't win games in just a putrid Big Ten West, but just telling it like it is, it's been pretty disappointing.
Yeah, it has, and I think this was the spot where you really wanted to get that encouragement going into Big Ten play, even if it was fake or whatever it was. If you just got that 38-10 victory where you didn't have to sweat at all, you had, the offense was clicking, you could run the ball all over a team from the Conference USA, or I guess they're in the American now, aren't they? But regardless, a lower-level opponent, a team that you should have been far more physical than, the offensive line should not be struggling against Florida Atlantic, and they are again. That's just really frustrating. You do get the run game going late, but you couldn't run the ball in the first half. Like you mentioned, you go down 10-0, and it's just, it's a team that, as Jay chronicled there in the first hour, continues to get off to these slow starts where they're just completely out of sorts out of the gate. Ever since that first drive against Toledo, the first quarters have been just disastrous in every game. I mean, just it looks like a team that hasn't been ready to play. And now they've made adjustments in a lot of these games to at least make, you know, to get a lot better as the game goes on. But it's just, to have that type of performance, I know they could have won by more. They probably should have put it away multiple times, but they didn't, because they continued to shoot themselves in the foot. These personal foul penalties, I mean, we thought we maybe got that cleaned up against Penn State, and then you have 3 personal fouls. You get penalized like 7 times in this game. You fumble twice. It's a team that just doesn't look very inspiring at all. Neither does a lot of these other teams, but in terms of just looking at yourself and looking at Illinois and the team that we've seen through 4 weeks, it's not one that gives me a ton of confidence going into each game the rest of the way. I need to see some major improvements there, and I think there were some bright spots late in that game, but it's just, you know, you should have been doing that for 4 quarters against Florida Atlantic. So I find it hard to take a ton of, you know, encouragement away from a couple little things that happened in the 3rd and 4th quarter of a game, in a game that was way too uncomfortable than it should have been.
Yeah, you can't use the schedule as an argument for that past Saturday. I get it. Toledo's a solid team. They're still from the MAC. Come on. Like, they're a MAC football team, albeit a decent one. To scale, like in the MAC, they're pretty good. But I'll give you Kansas. Kansas, tough matchup. Shouldn't get blown out. If you're going to be a team that could win the West, you're not going to lose by 30 points on the road at Kansas. And then Penn State, the offense was really, really lackluster. I give the defense a round of applause for hanging in there and giving you a chance to win. And then last week was just uninspiring football. And without being able to hang out late, I feared, like, FAU had 2 timeouts and 4 minutes left, could have got the ball back and went down the field and scored, and you'd lose again. Like,
for a brief moment there when Altmaier threw to Henry Boyer over the middle of the field,
oh,
and they ripped it out.
That was a dicey throw.
And they were celebrating. Ooh. I was like, are we going to do this? Is this what's going to happen right now? I mean, to have that even be in your mind late in the 4th quarter of that game is concerning.
Very concerning. Now, context, quick thoughts on Illinois-Purdue, then we'll get to Brett Bielema. We'll obviously have the rest of the week to break this thing down. Purdue didn't stop anybody. They haven't stopped anybody except for Vatek, but Wisconsin pretty much scored at will. Purdue made it interesting with their third quarter rally. They can score in a hurry when they're clicking. I'm afraid, Kyle, at the outset, I'm afraid of a slow offensive start for Illinois for whatever reason, even though this Purdue defense stinks, and Hudson Card and company having a lot of success through the air. You could find yourself down by a couple of scores early on, and I don't feel entirely confident about this team playing catch-up on the road against a very competent passing attack, and I just don't trust the secondary all that much. Not saying Illinois is going to lose. That's just my initial thoughts on it.
Yeah, I don't know. I think, yeah, the key is going to be you have to start fast in this game. You can't be trailing. You can't have a disastrous first quarter where you're down two scores. That goes without saying for almost every Big Ten game going forward. But I still feel pretty decent about this matchup. Having watched Purdue a little bit, I got to see some of their game against Wisconsin on Friday night and just... they look even more uninspiring than Illinois. Like, truly, I think it's a situation where their defense can't stop anybody. I mean, they have a bit. Ryan Walters, much like he did at Illinois, has some rebuilding to do with that defense, and he's got to change something up because Wisconsin got whatever they wanted pretty much on their defense. Fresno State got whatever they wanted. Syracuse got whatever they wanted. If there's a game, and I asked Luke the question about how close are you to that breakthrough offensively, this is the matchup to do it. And I think that they can do it. I am encouraged by the fact that they were finally able to run the ball effectively in the second half. I think this is a game where they absolutely should be able to run the ball. I think Barry Lunney is going to involve Luke's legs in this game. I just have confidence with as horrible as this Purdue defense has looked so far that the offense is going to finally get going, and I think that they're going to get off to a better start than they have. I just can't see a situation where it's as disastrous as like the Kansas first quarter and the Florida Atlantic first quarter is. If they cannot be playing from behind, like you said, I think that they'll be in better position to control the game and ultimately pull away because I trust Illinois' defense. And Illinois' defense hasn't been super inspiring. It's been better these last couple weeks. Purdue's defense looks awful. And I think if Illinois can just – get off to a better start, string a couple drives together, get off the field a couple times defensively early in the game, then if you're right with them there, I think Illinois is going to be in much better position to kind of take control late. But it's not to say I'm super confident going to West Lafayette. I do, in the back of my mind, think about the familiarity factor there of Ryan Walters. Obviously, his one, as soon as the schedule came out, Illinois was the one that he circled. And he's very familiar with a lot of these players and with what Aaron Henry's going to do. That's in the back of my mind, but I think this Purdue team has looked even. If you're a Purdue fan, you're feeling worse than Illinois. The Purdue radio show going on in West Lafayette right now is saying even worse things than we're saying right now. So that's what I think Illinois can win this game. It goes without saying you can't put yourself in the hole you've put yourself in these first 4 weeks early.
Yeah, that's well said. We'll have the rest of the week to break this thing down. Brett Bielema spoke today with the media to reflect on the win against Florida Atlantic on Saturday and look ahead to facing his old buddy Ryan Walters and company in West Lafayette. Here is your Illini head coach, Brett Bielema.
Got done with the game on Sunday and recognized several players, especially on offense, gave a lot of credit to our running back room, just those four guys in general that, the way the game kind of played out, we talked about establishing identity and playing with some physicality. And Reggie was the first off the bench. Then Josh, obviously, I think the way the order went, Caden was the next one in and then Aiden. But I thought all four of those guys affected the game. And to have that kind of come through was really, really good. I did think Luke, in retrospect, looking at the game film, I liked the way he handled and managed. There was a couple things that he created on his own. Really the big play to Caleb. Or to Griffin Moore, he was there and had to extend the play a little bit and made it happen. And then one of the first touchdowns where he kind of made it happen with his feet was pretty impressive. And then also Isaiah Williams, just another good example. When that guy touches the ball, he not only excites the crowd base, he ignites our players as well. And when he plays well, we play well. So excited to see that. And then defensively, there were a lot of really positive things. I thought Keith Randolph probably played one of his best games No, this group did have a plan for Johnny. They were doing a lot of things that were drawing attention to him, which when that happens, especially as an interior D lineman, that's got to free up other guys. So hopefully that is something that continues. I know it gets frustrating for Johnny, but it can be rewarding for others. And then a guy, Kanana Adelaga, just is a guy, again, that has just kind of silently done his business, has continued to play really well. But I think between Tariq, Dylan Rosiak, and Kanana, and now you throw Josh Kreutz in there a little bit, those four guys at the inside backer position are very – very unique. All of them kind of have a different skill set, but fun to watch that group continue to grow. So, and then just the way the game played out, Taz was out after the first half. T Strain rolls his ankle, forced a lot of those young freshmen into action. I thought they handled it very, very well. So, we put the game behind us pretty quickly on Sunday. Obviously, did enough things to correct and review offense, defense, and special teams, but jumped into our Purdue preparation. Actually, shortened our review time and extended our preparation time on Sunday. Today we'll have the day off, but our guys, I know, are chomping at the bit to get back into really an 8-week window here, 4 weeks in a row, then a bye week, then 4 weeks in a row. Both segments have two home games and two away games for us in Big Ten play, so to get this opportunity to go on the road and play the defending Big Ten West champs, I think is something that they're excited about. Give a lot of credit to Purdue. The last 2 years of we haven't come out on top in a trophy game. It's something that I think our guys have talked about for a long time. So excited for the opportunity this week. Health-wise, I think everybody, for the most part, should be with us. Reggie and T. Strain, who had kind of lower leg injuries, weren't as significant as we may have thought at first. And those guys, if they don't practice tomorrow, should be fully engaged with us on Wednesday. Taz really was just a day issue. Taz had a pretty significant sickness. He didn't practice Thursday or Friday, had over 100 degree temp, kind of that had been floating around us a little bit, and that kind of steam wheeled on him on Saturday. So wouldn't expect any problems or issues back with him. So other than that, I think we should be full strength for Saturday.
How does familiarity between the two staff schemes play a role?
Yeah, again, I tell Josh all the time, he's getting a bargain with me at 53. I've been through a couple of these. You know, my first D coordinator job, I was the defense coordinator at Wisconsin, but I had been on the Iowa staff with Kirk and that whole entire defense staff. Phil Parker and I were on the original staff with Kirk going back to the day. So I've done a lot of these crossover moments. And then obviously when I became the head coach, some commonalities of coaches you've been around, played around. I remember when I was at Wisconsin as a head coach, we faced Mike Hankowitz, who was the defense coordinator for me, and he went on to become D coordinator at Northwestern. So there's a lot of these times where you have familiarity. This is an easy one just because Ryan was here last year and a couple guys on their staff. But I think these are things that come up more than you probably think from the outside world. We've been really talking about this game from last year's season in to where we are because we knew it was going to be the first Big Ten West opponent of the year, and it was going to be the beginning of an 8-week window of all-conference play. So I think that's the bigger issue, maybe so than who's on their staff.
Nakario Harper, of his development, probably personal growth.
Yeah.
What would you see out of him, and what can he add?
I say this all the time. Everything adds together, right? 2 + 2 = 4. So does 3 + 1 or 6 - 4. 6 - 2 = 4, right? Like, you can get to different numbers easily. Nakario Harper, we had an academic meeting every Thursday, and he had 2 A's in the classes that he was in. He's a grad transfer guy, right? And I walked up to him on Tuesday or Wednesday of last week because I knew he was going to be his first start. And I said, 2 A's, huh? And he looked at me and he goes, what do you mean? I go, you got 2 A's going in grad classes. I go, when was the last time he had 2 A's in grad classes? And he just smiled. He goes, I've never had 2 A's, coach. And I'm like, I go, it's the same reason I think you'll have success on Saturday, right? Like, he just has learned how we do things here. There was a point last spring where I got to have an academic meeting. It wasn't really as pleasant as that. And I kind of said, listen, this is how we do things. And if you buy into this and follow it, you'll be rewarded forever. And he's been doing that. I thought he played with incredible poise. Really the week before, he made a play on a tight end route that really jumped out to me that I'm like, okay, he's listening, you know. And, he's got incredible talent. Early in his career, he was very, very well thought of. At a couple other places he had been athletically, physically, and to be able to, I wish I had had him for 2 or 3 years because I really think his potential is pretty high.
It doesn't appear to be any clear-cut favorite in the Big Ten West. Have you talked to the team about the opportunity they have to maybe to win the division, or is it one game at a time?
Yeah. Again, we've known each other going on 3 years now, right? Like, we focus on the task at hand. We always talk big picture items, you know, in general. But I think, like I said at the beginning of the press conference, well, we've been talking about this for a while because it was our first opponent in the Big Ten West that we were going to play. It's the first in a little run here. Obviously, we come back, play Nebraska, then Maryland, even though they're in the other division, a pivotal game, and then to come back and have Wisconsin. So three of the next four are Big Ten West. So if you try to jump to one before the other, it's never going to work.
Played a lot of your younger guys the last couple of weeks. What have you learned about your couple of recruiting classes?
Yeah, we kind of actually had that conversation this morning, Monday. We like to kind of take a big picture look on Sunday, Mondays, and you know, we listed several guys on both sides of the ball, offense, defense, and then special teams. Our two best special teams players right now are probably Jaheim Clark and Josh Kreutz. James Kreutz. And it's just those guys get contagious, and then you saw James make a couple plays on Saturday on defense as well. Like, usually players break into their mold, especially defensive players on special teams units. But I couldn't be happier to get Caden Fagan and Aiden Loffrey involved in the game plan and to see Aiden score. I literally, I felt that coming for a while. And then I literally can't even imagine what was going through Caden Fagan to see that end zone right there and to see uninterrupted, but to wait to win that game once we took a knee that basically sealed the victory, barring any center QB exchanges. But, like, we knew that was, we put ourselves in grind to get down, and for him to execute that in that moment says a lot about him.
Balance for that, the field goal that you guys left a couple seconds on earlier in the season, just in case there was a bad exchange.
Yep.
What's the balance for understanding maybe a bad exchange could happen?
Well, a bad exchange between a quarterback and a center is completely different than a kicker. But at that point, when they took over, when we got a first down and they still had two timeouts, I knew the number we needed to get to make the game on a win. And when we stopped, I believe it was second and five, they have one timeout. That's when I know what it was. It was the play before Josh McCray went out. We told Josh if he got a first down, he could grind a get down. And then, so Josh, I knew it because Thad and I had a conversation. And then Josh went down after that first down carry, and we put Caden Fagan in. And obviously, everybody's probably, hey, it's this big moment, four-point play. And I said, does he know grind a get down, which means if he gets a first down, if he takes a knee, we win the game. And they were letting him score, right, because they knew the situation. They knew they couldn't win the game anymore, so they were trying to let him score. And I think when that safety came up and kind of did one of those passerbys, and he knew enough to get down. Somebody pointed out to me that the social media was having a fun thing that we should have scored there. And you know, I've seen teams score in that situation. Literally within our conference here in the last couple of weeks, there's been some teams that score at the end of the game, which puts you at risk. The only way we could lose that game was by scoring. Because if we scored and we kick off, they score, and they got an onside, they get two scores, they could still win. And most people don't see that, but I understand it, and that's why we did it.
KO. You just mentioned his attitude and his resolve to kind of trust in the building and trust in the process, and that's why he had success on Saturday. Did you kind of see that when you were looking at him, that his attitude and his work ethic was always going to be?
Kanan has been awesome since he's got here. Last year he was kind of a sub-package player for us. He actually played kind of nose in a weird kind of way, what we asked him to do. I just go back to his recruitment. I remember calling Coach Lynch. I think he was committed to an Ivy League school, if I'm not mistaken, and he was going there. And tell me about this kid, this coach, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get a guy that does everything right. I don't know if he's a linebacker, but I know he's an athlete. He can run. He'll do everything you ask of him. Since that point, everything Coach said has panned out. I don't think we went into Saturday thinking you're going to get 40-plus plays, whatever it was, but it kind of played out that way. And he's just so conscientious, so intelligent. You know, this past summer he went on a mission trip to Africa, and I let those three guys that went on that trip came back, and I let them address the team. And Kanena, his background, his family history, and everything that went into it, the way he talked up in front, I was like, okay, this guy's got leadership skills on top of that. He's also now one of our sack leaders. We recently got to nominate a player for a Big Ten Conference committee that's one player from every team, and I nominated him just because I think he represents everything that's right about us.
Evaluated offensive line.
Yeah.
How can you help them?
Just get better. I think we'll obviously, we're always constantly looking at players that we can plug and play. But Zai and Isaiah, I think for sure, on the right side feel that they can get better. I think, well, it's Hunter Whiteneck, Jordan Slaughter, between them and maybe Barlev, you know, seeing if they can help us out in a certain capacity. But, you know, Julian Pearl played really well over on the left side. Geske probably played, again, his best performance at this point. So Isaiah Adams really played well at times. There were some things that I know he wants to clean up, but I couldn't be happier about the growth that they made. I know it wasn't in everything that we saw, but there were definitely a lot of things they did well. We just got to get them to be more consistent.
A few times with transfers, you just wish you could have had them for three years. I mean, are there things you can tweak on the recruiting front to find these guys earlier, or are you just always going to miss somebody?
You know, you take Nicario, he's a guy that's from Atlanta originally. We don't really go into Atlanta heavy. It's an overly recruited city, and for us, you know, we couldn't defend number one out here for them, right? And he was a blue shirt walk-on at FAU, right? Another good reason why we probably should hit Florida more and more, because they're just pure numbers down there. Either you go into a county in Florida and you can literally kind of go into a certain school and there might be five or six Division I kids for you to evaluate. And then sometimes in those rural areas you get, and every city's got one or two guys where, so we as a coaches, we really recruit the Midwest. Anybody that touches us, we recruit Florida and Jersey, and the rest of it will have to go through the portal. So I don't think Nicario would pop on our roster. Clayton Bush, again, he's another kid that's from, whatever town Mount Western Kentucky's in. I don't think he would have been up on our radar. Some of the Illinois kids that were getting his bounce backs, I think that's for sure happening. You know, we get contacted. We've already been contacted this year with guys that we've recruited during my window of being here the last 2 years that are at places that aren't playing, right? Or maybe they're playing, they're not happy where they're at. So I think that's the stuff that's going to start coming back to us now. We said since we got here, we're going to recruit every kid in the state of Illinois that we feel can help us win a championship. But we didn't win all those recruiting battles, right? So now I think you're going to begin to see kids that are a year or two into programs that it maybe wasn't what they thought, and maybe that we're a little bit better than they thought we were going to be. And I think that's when we're going to start to get some of those dividends.
Last week you were talking about finding identity, finding your strengths. Any more clarity there after another game?
Absolutely. I think anytime you know, especially defensively, I thought, you know, I didn't want to see it. But when we made that defensive stand down there, fourth down, we get a, you know, stop, offense goes out, one play turns it over, and we go back out and stop them four plays in a row. To hold an offense inside the 15-yard line for 18 plays or for eight straight plays without a score, that's something you can hang your hat on. Offensively, I think, obviously, it didn't start out great. We started out good. We went down the field on a fourth and 2.5. You know, I think we thought it was probably a fourth and one, so, we can definitely get better on what we want to get done there. But the idea was to be aggressive and try to come away with a touchdown on that first one. So that's why we went for it, but we didn't get the first down. So that put us behind a little bit there. But to be down 10-0 to have them respond and the big play hits. You know, Griffin Moore is a guy I give Barry a lot of credit. Barry's been in love with Griffin Moore since he got here, just to what he brings, the attitude, the skill set. Tip Ryman to hit a big pass play. I think we've been waiting for Tip to kind of break out of that moment. Reggie hit a long run. Josh really ran with purpose. I think Luke, sitting where he was a week ago, to come back and play the way he did and created some things with his feet, I think it's a different demeanor to watch that on film. Special teams, I thought David Alano came in and sent a message about what he can do with his leg. Declan Dooley, I was within a hair of a chin and putting him in. He booted three punts in a row last week over 60 yards, so a guy that really has been impressive and excited for us to see. So there's some things you see, but there's also some things you guys haven't seen that I think are coming.
The hammering, the sawing, the drilling, all the sounds of the workplace are music to our ears. You can be a part of construction projects, large and small, as a Carpenters Local 243 member. Learn to excel with apprentice and journeyman training. Members enjoy all the benefits this internationally recognized union has to offer. It's a life-changing decision. Join the Local 243 family tradition. Contact Carpenters Local 243 at 217-356-5463.
Welcome to Sarah Champagne, where your dream car awaits with an exquisite selection of